been doing a little preaching.
They told me where. I told Jim Jones what this fella told me, and I didn't know how important it was, but I thought I'd better relay it. Which was, I'll go over it briefly. He had heard his insights that Dirksen had already been talked to about it. That you were getting ready to flash him with the accusation that he had connived with John Tower and Anna Chenault to bring about the action of the Saigon government in not participating. And then we thought that if you flashed him, you felt like that would be first unsupported by the truth, and secondly unfair, and thirdly unfortunate. And that he had been playing it, he thought very forthrightly and frankly with you, and that he had been supporting your position, and he was prepared to go and meet the press today, and was going at an hour prime time tonight. After that, 2 hours tomorrow, he was going to say that he was going to offer to you his cooperation, and that he would offer to go any place that you might want him to go, to Paris or to Hanoi or anywhere else. Not to Hanoi, but Saigon, anywhere else to help bring about fruitful results from these conferences that are going on. The position would be right on what it had been.
Well, now let me give you the picture, George. And, the problem is not his traveling somewhere. The problem is the people on both sides of this fence getting the impression that they can get a little more for the house if they'll wait a week to sell it.
Yeah.
Now, do I make that point clear?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes the vice president says that he would withdraw troops, or he would stop the bombing, period, not comma, not semicolon, but period.
Yeah.
And that gives encouragement to Hanoi.
Right.
They went off 2 weeks after we had this wrapped up. Now, I don't know whether it was his statement, or Bundy's speech, or the fear of the Chinese. All I know was that we were in agreement, and they had indicated their willingness to take what we were asking.
Right.
And then this came along.
Right.
Now, when they got back, we had gone over this whole formula with Chu on October the 13th.
Right.
We went back over it on October the 15th. We went back over it on October the 23rd. We went back over it on October the 28th. Then our friend, not the vice president, but the former vice president,
yeah,
his folks get into it. And they say that they know how to deal with these communists, and they're not going to be soft on them. And if they are elected, they'll see it right on through with them, and that they'll get a whole lot better deal with Nixon than they will with Johnson. Now, first, that comes out of one of his associates, one of his top business person. That was communicated to us by means that we have of knowing him. And it was rather shocking in the light of what he said. So I started personally watching the traffic myself, and the next day the traffic shows that is going in and out of Saigon. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I'm not guessing, George. I know what I'm doing, you see. That Nixon is going to win, therefore they ought to wait on Nixon.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much he knows. I don't always know when Jim Jones or Marvin Watson say something in my office. I pretty well know. But Laird put out a story the other day that Johnson was having this pressure for political reasons and everything. And Nixon comes along and says, my people say this, but I don't believe it. And so it's kind of like Scotty Peaks going to the press and telling them something, and then that you tell him to tell them, and then the next day you knock it down. Yeah. And that's dirty poo, because I have told him everything and been very frank and honest with him. Right. Now yesterday, he did the same thing again with Finch. Mm-hmm. Finch, his lieutenant governor from California, who is his old buddy, used to work for him, you remember? Yeah. Robert Finch, he gets on the plane and he tells him that the president misled Nixon, that the president told him that everybody signed up diplomatically and they had no problems with it, and that he did not tell the candidates that they had any difficulties with South Vietnam. Now that is not true. I have a transcript of what I told them. And I wouldn't want to make the transcript public, but I'll read it to you. The president. While all of this is going on, now that's talking about October the 15th, when I told them last time that there were three things we wanted to get. The presence of the GVN, and for them to not abuse the DMZ and stop shelling the cities like Saigon and Hue. Those three things. I had previously said this, so this is the pertinent part. While this was going on, we had gone out to Saigon and other parts of Southeast Asia, the allied countries, and at that time, they all tentatively agreed that this was a wise plan. Now, since that time, with our campaign going on here, we have some minor problems developing. First, there have been speeches that we ought to withdraw troops, or we should stop the bombing without any consideration, obtaining anything in return. Or some of our folks, even including some of the old China lobby, they are going around and implying to some of the embassies and to some others that they might get a better deal out of somebody that was not involved in this war now. Now that makes it very difficult, and it has slowed things down a bit. I know none of you candidates are responsible for it. I'm looking at the transcript of our last conversation now. When I asked for your comments, you'll remember the vice president said he had no comment, but thanks much. The former vice president, Mr. Nixon, said, well, as you know, this is consistent with what my position has been all along. I made it very clear. I'll make no statements that will undercut the negotiations. So we'll just stay right on that and hope this thing works out, unquote. Then Mr. Wallace said, yes, sir, that's my position. You stated, and I agree with you, we shouldn't play any politics in this matter because it could foul up the negotiation. Now, that is what I told them before I announced the pause. I knew at that time that we had problems with South Vietnam. I was not sure whether she would go to a conference or not. I'm not sure now. But I laid it right on the table with him. Now for Finch to go out and say I misled him and I didn't tell him that. Then Nixon kind of halfway confirmed it today, said that, well, certainly he expected him to, he dodged the question they asked him if this was true what Finch said. Well, he said, I think you'll see that the president himself expected South Vietnam, and White House backgrounder indicated South Vietnam would come. Well, we do hope South Vietnam comes. We had it agreed upon three times before these people started advising the president out there to wait. Now, George, I can't tell Nixon this. But I know what's been said, and it's coming from his people, and I know what the president's saying to his prime minister. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Everything he tells them out there, we know pretty well.
Right.
So what he's doing, my judgment is, he was on the surface, he was playing that he didn't want to undercut me.
Yeah.
Under the table, his people. And this, I think, you can tell him for sure. There's no doubt about it. His people, A, business-wise, and B, political-wise, were saying that you ought to wait on Dick. Now, that's got it pretty well screwed up. And my judgment is, we'll have to wait till Wednesday, and if he... Instead of traveling, all he's got to do is just go back through the same sources.
Right.
And tell him, you go on, I'm going to support the president. And you better get on to that damn conference, because these people are not going to support you if you refuse to even go talk when you got a chance to.
Right.
I may be wrong, but I don't believe the people of America will support me and Nixon and anybody else if these generals out there won't talk when we got them recognized. Do you?
No. I think anybody who plays politics with this thing is going to hurt itself.
You see, I've held this thing up month after month after month because they would not agree that the South Vietnamese could come to the table. And finally, on October the 3rd, I believe, they first asked us if they'd let them come to the table, is that all we want? We said no. You can't shell the cities and you can't abuse the DMZ.
Right.
So then a speech or two comes out and they take off for Hanoi for 2 weeks. And then they come back and we repeat it to them again, and then we go back to the Russians and the Russians go back to them. And we finally get them where they agree to let the GVN come in, and they understand that if they start abusing the DMZ, that we'll start bombing again. They don't agree to it, but they understand that we've called Abrams in, and Abrams recommended that we urged us to do this, and they understand it. Now, while I'm doing that, though, I get rid of one vice president, and the other one gets in it. So it's just a hell of a note, and it's a sad thing for people got boys out there to have folks leaving these impressions. Now, what I told Erickson last night was that he ought to tell Nixon to say just exactly what he had said and tell all of his people to stay the hell away from these embassies and tell Laird and Fink quit lying to these reporters, because I don't want to publish here that I told Nixon that his China lobby was working here. But I read you from the transcript.
Yeah.
Now Wallace knows it and Humphrey knows it. And Rusk was sitting there, Clifford was sitting there, CIA was sitting there, and I had a stenographer sitting there with a transcription machine.
Well.
Let me read this sentence to you again, see if it's not pretty clear to you. Now, since that time, with our campaign on here, we have had some minor problems develop. First, there have been speeches we ought to withdraw troops or stop the bombing without obtaining anything in return. Are some of our folks are even including some of the old China lobbies. They are going around and implying to some of the embassies that they might get a better deal out of somebody that was not involved in this. The somebody not involved is what they refer to as their boss. Their boss is the code word for Mr. Nixon. And it's just this simple. As soon as they say that to them, they go out to Saigon with it. And we know pretty well what goes to Saigon. Then when he gets to Saigon, he calls his people in, and he gives them instructions. And we know pretty well what happens in that room.
Right.
I don't want you to go into that with Nixon, but that's what's hurting the country.
Right.
And obviously, it's so sensitive, I can't do anything about it except just say, quit it.
Right.
Now, I don't say that he is doing it. I don't know that he is. But I know what Laird did on the plane a week ago.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and always defends me. Then Finch comes out and defends me. It's just like Lady Bird saying Smathers is a crook. And I say, I don't believe what Lady Bird said.
Well, I agree that they quit Mel Laird, as we all know it. I think he's a real son of a bitch, and has been. And his Finch, I don't know, but he, this fellow said to me today that he was going to take this position on the asking question on the press. But they would, he was going to...